Chapter 7.
"Let me have everyone's attention," I yelled over the congregation of people that had nearly doubled after the release of Cairo's prisoners. "The king is furious about your treatment at the hands of this man, and we will work tirelessly to make up for that."
"Hail the king!"
one of the sheep shouted with his fist in the air.
"And Lord Evan!"
another yelled. "Thank you," I said graciously. "Our next step is to free everyone else and round up anyone who tries to fight the end to slavery. I will deal with them myself, and I do not want any vigilante justice from anyone else. Do you have any questions?"
"Where should we bring all the servants?"
a woman called out from the crowd. "No one is a servant or a slave anymore," I corrected her. "Anyone who is now free but does not have a home will be escorted here to the palace for the night. We will find more permanent housing tomorrow, but I won't have anyone else sleep in a house where they have been mistreated. Lord Nikolaus will now explain how to proceed." Nike stepped forward and stood tall next to me. He brushed his shaggy black hair from his face to reveal his silvery eyes, and I realized we both needed haircuts in a bad way.
"We will begin in the neighborhood south of the castle," he announced. "I've already been told the houses near the gates are empty, but we will work our way east toward them until we have stopped at every home."
"Even if you don't know a sheep is being held there, knock on the door," I continued. "We won't leave anyone behind." Several of the sheep gave determined nods and set their faces into grim lines. They were ready to free their fellow bighorns, and so was I. So we split the sheep and their grisly supporters into groups and headed south. Ravi, Alia, and Aliona walked with me, while Nike and my other lovers joined other groups, since it was better for us to spread out and make sure no one tried to take punishment into their own hands. As we walked through the homes, I noticed they were nicer than the abandoned ones by the gates, but they had nothing on the palace. It seemed Cairo only cared a little more for his fellow bears than he did for the sheep. I knocked on the first door in our section, and I heard the thud of large feet crossing the wood floor before the door creaked open.
"Who are you?"
the grisly woman asked with narrowed eyes.
"What are you doing here?"
"My name is Lord Evan," I replied. "By order of the king, I'm here to free anyone who is currently working as a slave in your household."
I don't know,
the woman stammered as she averted her gaze.
"I don't have any slaves here."
"Well, then you won't mind if I check that for myself," I retorted, as I pushed past her to step inside. I considered tearing apart her house, but we didn't have all night, so I decided to activate my echolocation ability. I pushed a sound wave through the house, and I detected someone in a closet under the stairs. I grunted and stalked through the house to the closet. Then I slid the lock from across the door and opened it to reveal a bighorn girl who looked no older than 13. She cowered in the corner of the closet, and she ducked her head as I stepped closer and knelt next to her. "I'm here to free you," I murmured, and held out my hand. "Come with me."
"Free?"
the girl repeated with wide brown eyes.
"Who are you?"
"Lord Evan," I replied softly and gestured to my women behind me. "We're all here to help. Come on." The girl slowly slipped her hand into mine, and I pulled her to her feet and out the door. She stood to her full height, and even at such a young age, she was still nearly as tall as me. Her dirty blonde hair was tied back into a messy ponytail, and she looked and smelled like she hadn't bathed in days. I guided her over to my women, who escorted her outside, and then I turned back to the bear woman. She stood with her hands on her hips and a look of disdain on her face.
"Well, I suppose that's that,"
she muttered.
"You lied about having a slave," I snarled, "and a child slave at that. How do you live with yourself?"
"I had a servant. I'm no worse than anyone else here with a servant."
"Servants are not terrified of their employers," I hissed, and took a step closer to the demi-human. "And they don't live in closets. You're just as vile as Cairo, and you will be dealt with accordingly."
"Dealt with? I was only following his laws, just like everyone else."
"Not like everyone else," I growled, and closed the gap between us to put my face in hers. "Some people had a conscience and refused to keep people as slaves."
The bear woman opened her mouth to argue, but closed it again. She knew I was right, and I stared at her a moment longer before I stepped back and turned for the door to leave.
"What happens to me now?"
she asked in a quiet voice. I'll decide soon, I muttered over my shoulder. See you tomorrow. Then I stopped outside and slammed the door shut behind me.
Are you all right, my lord?
Aaliyah asked and put a hand on my shoulder. I will be, once everyone is free.
I'll take her back to the palace,
Aliona volunteered as she held the girl close to her and stroked her hair.
She has no idea who her family is. She's been with that woman for as long as she can remember.
Yes, take her. You can catch up with us later. Aliona wrapped her arm around the girl's shoulders and walked her toward the castle. But the rest of us continued on our search and knocked on every door. Most of the slave-owning families didn't argue, but a few put up a fight. The ones that resisted the movement were noted, and I would deal with them later, since I didn't want any other citizens to take the law into their own hands, as Cairo had done for his entire time in leadership. By the time we finished, night had fallen over the city. We'd gathered a few hundred sheep from the grizzly masters, and they clustered together outside the castle as Ravi, Aaliyah, and I walked into the square. The sheep demihumans cried, laughed, and hugged while families and friends found each other. Aliona stood on the front steps with the girl we'd found first, and the girl clung to the princess's hand while they both scanned the crowd. Any luck on her family? I asked as we climbed the steps. Aliona frowned and shook her head.
It's getting too dark to even see everyone.
Okay, let's find somewhere in the castle for them to go for now, I suggested. I'm sure Cairo would love to give us some ideas.
I'm sure.
The princess chuckled as she, Ravi, and Aliyah followed me inside. Then I strode over to where Cairo was still bound to the chair while Laika paced back and forth in front of him.
Did you find them all?
I think so. Now we need to find somewhere for them to stay for the night.
Not in my castle, Cairo spat out. The filthy creatures can sleep in the stable.
Why would you want them to sleep where you're going to sleep? I smirked.
The stable? He gasped as his eyes widened. It's not fit for a royal.
But it is fit for a rodent, I replied, and bared my teeth in a malicious grin. So it's perfect for a rat. And you're no royal.
I challenged Favel, just like I'll challenge the king, the bear sneered. And then the laws will be whatever I make them.
You honestly think you're just going to walk away from this treason unscathed? I asked in disbelief. Even if I didn't kill you, do you think the other people here would continue to stay under your rule?
They'll do whatever I tell them to, Cairo huffed and rolled his eyes. Not anymore, I thundered. And you wouldn't have a chance against the king anyway. Now I need to know what room is big enough for a few hundred people.
Nothing, he muttered, and looked down at his feet. Then I suppose I'll let them all pick their own spaces, I said with a shrug before I turned to Aliona. Let's make another duplexity box. Laika shouldn't have to stand guard over this shitbag all night.
Thank you, my lord,
Laika said with a giggle. Aliona pulled the enchanted sheet from her spatial storage and murmured the words of the spell, and the teenage bighorn watched in fascination as the sides of the box appeared and took shape.
What kind of sorcery is this?
Cairo squeaked. The kind that you'll get to know real well, I laughed. You'll be in it all night.
That is cruel punishment. It is against the law.
Your law or the king's? I raised an amused eyebrow. You seem to think you can do whichever ones you please.
You are absurd, dragon.
And you are out of line, Cairo. You're speaking to the future king of this land, and you will treat him as such, or speak no more.
Cairo closed his mouth and snorted, just as Nike, Rebecca, and the other women walked in the front door.
Everyone is waiting for your orders, my lord, Nike announced.
Let's put this idiot in the box, I instructed him. Then we can search the palace for places to sleep.
There's always the barracks, Lord Evan, the ones the guards use, unless you're planning to release them from the pit tonight.
Nah, they can stay. Where are the barracks? The Lady Bear pointed down a hallway opposite the slave hall, and I nodded in agreement. The bighorns could stay there for the night, and we would get everything else figured out tomorrow. We still had to go to the other two peninsula cities, and I didn't want to wait for them to find out we'd taken over here. Aliona and Naomi used the binding spell to drag Cairo into the box, despite his yells and cries for help, while the rest of us went outside to round up the newly freed demihumans and bring them into the barracks. Rebecca led us down the hallway, and we reached a door at the end of the hall. Then she pushed the door open, and I could see nothing but darkness.
"Oh, it has torches,"
she said, as if she could read my mind. "Where are they? Just point them out."
"Along every wall, about 2 feet apart,"
Rebecca replied as she indicated the sides of the room. I conjured several small fireballs and tossed them in the direction she'd pointed. The fireballs landed on the ends of the torches to light the room, and I could finally see the huge interior. Row after row of bunk beds spanned the length of the room, and I saw exactly why Rebecca had suggested this place. There was space for nearly double the people we'd rescued, though I hoped we didn't need it. "Is this where the guards sleep?" I wondered as sheep poured into the room.
"They used to. Now the army isn't as large as it was under Lord Favel, so only some sleep here in case Cairo needs them. The rest go to their night shift posts."
"I see," I hummed before I turned to the bighorns spreading out to the bunks. "Everyone, find your place to sleep for the night. We have a few things to take care of tonight, and we'll find new homes for you tomorrow."
"Oh, and there's a communal bath over there,"
Rebecca said as she pointed to the left side of the room.
"In case anyone hasn't been able to bathe recently."
"I'll stay in case anyone needs anything else," Nike offered.
"Good idea," I agreed. "It's probably pretty emotional in here right now. We don't want anyone to feel alone." Shouts of thanks and excitement echoed around the large room as the rest of us walked out into the hallway and rejoined Aliona and Naomi in the living area. "Is our friend secure?" I asked, as I peeked into the duplexity box.
"Oh, he's not going anywhere,"
Naomi smirked. "We can leave the guards in the pit," I decided. "There isn't enough room for them in the box with Cairo, but we might want to go set up some defensive spells for the pit and the city, since we don't have any guards now."
"I know plenty,"
Naomi volunteered with a grin. "I figured," I chuckled.
"I'll go with you,"
Ravi offered, and the phoenix bounced up and down on her toes.
"And me,"
Aaliyah chimed in as she flashed a fangy grin. "Okay, the rest of you can go get some sleep," I said. "It's been a long day."
Good night, my lord,"
the dryads replied in unison before they skipped down the hall to their room.
"See you in the morning,"
Mariah waved with a yawn and traipsed down the hall after them.
"I'm going to try to find her family,"
Aliona murmured and gestured to the bighorn girl who sat in a chair by the fireplace.
"Her name is Yura. She has to have someone here."
"Okay," I agreed, and leaned down to kiss the princess's forehead. "We'll be back soon." Laika nodded as we walked outside, and I knew she wouldn't go anywhere without Aliona, even if she was exhausted. The two were nearly inseparable, and it had been their bond that really opened up the whole harem. I hadn't been expecting Aliona to invite another woman into our bed, but the two of them together had been fucking amazing. We walked out into the now empty square, and I could hear the guards grumbling to themselves in the pit. So I led the women over to the hole and looked down inside.
"How's it going in there, Greg?" I called out.
"Gregorio," he corrected in a low rumble. "And we could use some food and water."
"Oh, I'm sure you could. We'll see you in the morning."
My reply was met with curses and a few angry growls. But no one dared to argue, since I'd shown them how I dealt with the people who pissed me off.
"Ready for me?"
Naomi asked with a grin.
"Absolutely," I replied.
"Your darkness binds, my light contains. Inside, you remain."
A filmy layer of black magic seemed to float from the air above us and land over the pit like a transparent tarp. And it settled on the ground and sealed into the grass around the hole. I leaned over to see the guards inside yelling and fighting to try to climb the sloped walls, but I couldn't hear anything.
"It traps sound, too?" I asked.
"I thought it might be a helpful addition." "Smart!"
Aaliyah laughed. We continued around the edge of the city as Naomi enchanted the walls and gates to prevent anyone from coming in or going out. I didn't like the idea of trapping the sheep again. But I also didn't want any of the grizzlies to sneak away from whatever punishment the king decided for them. As we climbed the steps back to the palace, it was quiet except for the occasional voice of a bighorn from the barracks, and Aliona was asleep in one of the chairs by the fireplace with Yura laying across her lap.
"They fell asleep about an hour ago,"
Laika whispered as she stood from the chair next to them.
"I didn't have the heart to wake them."
Still no sign of Yura's family?
Ravi asked, and tears glimmered in her blue eyes.
No.
The wolf demihuman shook her head and frowned.
And the girl barely speaks. We aren't sure if she just doesn't know how or if she's shy.
Shem did say their education is limited, I murmured. We'll try again tomorrow. For now, we should all get some rest.
Yes, I'm rather exhausted.
Naomi agreed, and the lizard mage stifled a yawn.
I rarely use so much magic in one day. It's draining.
I can make you some of the tea we brought from Tikal,
Lyca offered.
It would really help,
Aaliyah agreed.
Okay, then straight to bed.
Naomi smiled as she followed Lyca down the hall. I scooped up Aliona and Yura and carried them to our room. I laid both of them gently on the bed, and then I tiptoed back out of the room and nearly bumped into Aaliyah and Ravi.
There's room with us,
Aaliyah whispered, and her golden tail flicked around behind her.
Oh, plenty of room,
the phoenix agreed with a vigorous nod. Lead the way, I grinned, and followed them next door to their room. Where's Mariah?
She went to bed with the dryads. So it's just the three of us.
I'm definitely good with that, I said, as I pushed the door shut behind me. Then I turned to face my lovers, and they had already started. Ravi untied the belt on Aaliyah's robes while the lioness kissed down her throat. Then the phoenix reached up and slid Aaliyah's robe down her shoulders and let it fall to the floor. Aaliyah's bronze skin seemed to shimmer in the dim torchlight, and her amber eyes glanced over at me with hungry desire before she returned her attention to Ravi. Then the lion demihuman stripped Ravi's robe down, and the two women wrapped their arms around their naked bodies and kissed. My cock throbbed as I watched their tongues dip in and out of each other's mouths, while their hands traveled along each other's smooth skin.
Why do you still have clothes on?
Ravi giggled as she looked over at me. And just like that, I was done being a spectator. I tore my shirt over my head and dropped my pants to the floor. Then I strode across the room, wrapped my arms around their naked waists, and tossed them onto the bed. The women bounced and giggled in a flurry of bare tits and wild hair, and I climbed onto the bed between them. Ravi grabbed my face and pressed her lips to mine with a soft moan, while Aaliyah dragged her rough, cat-like tongue across my jaw and down my neck. Then the lioness slid from the bed and kneeled between my legs.
I've missed your cock, Lord Evan,
she murmured as she licked up my inner thigh. Fuck, I groaned, and the anticipation nearly killed me as she kissed and licked all around my throbbing arousal. Finally, Aaliyah licked her lips and shoved my length into her warm mouth, and she bobbed up and down as she sucked on every inch of my shaft, while Ravi delved her tongue between my lips. I slid one hand down between the phoenix's legs to her slick entrance and pressed my thumb to her throbbing clit.
Oh!
Ravi cried out as I began to rub circles against her warm lips until I could feel her juices start to trickle down. Come here, I growled and laid back on the bed. Ravi climbed over and straddled my shoulders to give me the perfect view of her pink pussy. The smell of her sweet nectar filled my nose, and I grabbed her ass to pull her closer to my face. Then I plunged my tongue into the phoenix's tight tunnel and felt her body writhe on top of me while Aaliyah sucked my cock. I dragged my tongue up and around Ravi's soaking lips before I suckled and flicked her clit. Her thighs quivered next to my head, and I could tell she was close to her orgasm. So I reached a hand around her thigh and slid one finger inside her. Then I curled my finger to graze her sensitive tunnel, and her climax spilled over the edge.
Oh, God!
Ravi screeched as her orgasm vibrated her body on top of me. She gripped her breasts as waves of climax rippled through her, and my own climax started to rise as her body squirmed above me. Then Aaliyah dragged her sandpaper tongue up my shaft and sucked on the tip of my dick, and I couldn't hold it in anymore. Yes, I groaned as I sprayed a hot load of my dragon seed into the lioness's mouth. Aaliyah slid up and down while a current of pleasure crackled through my veins and shot down her throat. I gripped Ravi's waist as we both finished together, and then Aaliyah sucked the last drops from my cock before I shuddered and sighed.
Don't get tired on me yet, my lord,
the lioness giggled, as she stood next to the bed.
I need much more of your seed.
I wouldn't dream of it, I chuckled. Ravi scooted over as I slid up higher onto the bed, and Aaliyah straddled my hips. Without a word, the lioness grabbed my cock and rubbed it against her sopping pussy before she dropped her hips onto me. I slid inside her hot canal with a groan, and the lion demihuman started to ride my dick. Her bronze tits bounced up and down with every move, and I could see her tiny brown nipples were hard as she rolled them between her fingers.
Let me,
Ravi murmured, as she rolled to her knees beside Aaliyah. The phoenix took Aaliyah's breast in her hand and kneaded the soft skin, and the lion demihuman began to roll her hips back and forth on my cock. Oh, fuck, I moaned. I could feel the walls of her sweet pussy rub my length as she moved, and Ravi lowered her head to take one of Aaliyah's tits into her mouth. I watched the phoenix's tongue flick around my other lover's tight nipple, and then I saw her hand slide down to her pussy and rub herself while she played with Aaliyah.
Lord Evan, your cock feels so good,
Aaliyah purred and threw her head back. Then her tunnel tightened around my cock, and she released a wild cry as her sweet juices rained down over my shaft like a waterfall. Her back arched. She opened her hips even wider with her cries of ecstasy, so my cock reached even deeper inside her womb. As I felt even more of her tight canal, I released another load of my hot sperm into her waiting womb, and I dumped load after load of my seed inside the lioness while tremors of pleasure shook my body.
I need your seed too,
Ravi said in a husky voice after she released Aaliyah's breasts.
I want you to fill me, my lord.
With pleasure, I murmured. Aaliyah flopped onto the bed next to me, and I stood up and grabbed Ravi. Then I rolled her to her hands and knees, and I had the perfect view of her dripping slit between her creamy white thighs. God damn! Her pussy was so pretty. I plowed my cock inside her, and she squealed as I drove as deep into her as I could go. Then I grabbed her hips and pulled her against me while I fucked her from behind.
Aaliyah,
Ravi nearly whispered and patted the bed in front of her. The lioness crawled over to the spot and laid before Ravi. Then the phoenix dropped her head between Aaliyah's thighs, and I could hear the gentle sucking sounds of her tongue on Aaliyah's dripping pussy. I pounded into Ravi's tight canal while she tongue-fucked the lioness demihuman, and my lover's moans of ecstasy filled the air. I felt every inch of the phoenix's canal pressing against my cock, and then they squeezed even tighter as Ravi shuddered.
Oh, gods! Yes!
The phoenix cried out, and her orgasm arched her back as goosebumps dimpled the skin down her spine. Aaliyah's nails dug into the bed before she grabbed Ravi's head and pressed it against her pussy.
Fuck!
The lioness screeched before her juices poured down her slit, and Ravi lapped up the sweet juices as she shuddered through her own orgasm.
Gods!
I groaned and poured my own seed into the phoenix's warm pussy. The shock rippled down my back, and I could feel my toes curl as I thrust my hips back and forth against Ravi's jiggling ass, until our juices mingled together, flooded her womb, and then dribbled down her thighs. Ravi collapsed on the bed underneath me, and I rolled to the side to lay down next to her while Aaliyah laid on my other side.
You both ready for round two?
I growled as I pulled Aaliyah's mouth to my lips.
Yes.
The lioness purred as I kissed her, and then I moved her voluptuous body over my hips so she could sink down on my cum-slick penis. An hour or so passed as I brought each of my lovers to half a dozen more climaxes. I filled them up a few more times with my seed during our passion, and we eventually collapsed into a pile of moaning limbs and well-fucked pussies that dripped my cum under the bed.
That was amazing, Lord Evan. I'm stuffed full of your seed. I'm trying to hold it all in, but it keeps leaking out. Delicious.
You both satisfied me as well. I yawned, and before I knew it, I was barely keeping my eyes open, and my lovers had already passed out. I remembered the young bighorn was asleep in my bed anyway, so I closed my eyes and was out like a light. When morning came, I looked over to see Aaliyah and Ravi had already started getting dressed.
What are you doing up so early?
I yawned and stretched out across the bed.
We realized since we freed all the people who worked here, we have to figure out breakfast before it's time to go to Veta.
Aaliyah replied, and her stomach growled low and angry. Apparently you really need breakfast, I snickered.
Well, you used up all our energy last night.
Ravi giggled and shrugged into her robes.
We need to fill back up.
Fair enough. I sat up, found my clothes on the floor, and began to tug them on. I'm famished anyway.
Let's go see what they have in the kitchen,
Aaliyah suggested. So we finished getting dressed and then walked out into the hallway. The doors to the Dryad's room, Nike's room, and my and Aliona's room were already open, and the rooms were bare. I guess they're already on their way, I observed. We continued down the hall, and I could hear the clanging of pots and pans and the thump of cabinet doors. As we walked into the sitting area, I saw the duplexity box was still in one piece and sitting next to the wall. Then we strolled into the dining room to see a bighorn demihuman as he set down a tray of toast in front of Aliona, Lyca, Yora, Nike, Mariah, and the Dryads. Hey, whoa, what's going on here? I demanded.
Since there's no longer a kitchen servant, slave, we decided to cook for you,
the sheep replied before anyone else could answer.
It's the least we could do after you saved us and gave us a place to sleep for the night.
Oh, I frowned. You know you don't have to, though, right?
Of course, my lord,
the bighorn grinned and took a bow.
We are thankful for what you've done. It won't be anything fancy, but we are preparing your food as we speak.
Okay, thank you, I said with a nod. The sheep scurried back into the kitchen, and I sat down in Cairo's big, comfy chair.
We tried to talk him out of it, but they all insisted. I know they feel better giving back to you somehow.
They don't owe me anything, I growled. It was the right thing to do.
Hurt gratitude.
Yura whispered so quietly I almost didn't hear her. Is that what you call it? I asked with a smile, and the young bighorn nodded. Well, then I suppose I'll accept the gift. Yura offered a tiny smile in return before she looked back down at her hands in her lap. Within minutes, more of the bighorns scuttled into the room with trays of scrambled eggs and cubed ham. The meat smelled fresh and savory, and though the sheep hadn't used any seasoning, the aroma still evoked another angry growl from my stomach. After they set down the trays, the demi-human stepped back and waited anxiously, so I dumped several of each item onto my plate and dug in. Thank you, I said after I swallowed the first bite. It's all fantastic. The sheep released a collective sigh of relief and then rushed back into the kitchen.
So what's the plan for today, my lord?
Nike asked before he took a bite of his own breakfast. I was thinking about it, I murmured. We have two main things that need to be accomplished. One is to go to Veta and Imunving. We have to make sure no one else is being held captive. And the other is to find new housing for the bighorns here in Atheson. While they probably enjoyed a fresh bed and bath here, they can't live in the castle forever.
I can help with the second half,
a female voice called out. I looked up to see Rebecca leaned against the doorway with her arms crossed over her ample breasts. Her smooth, round hip jutted out to the side, and her golden brown eyes were filled with determination. She stood up from her position, and I got a good look at her change in attire. She wore black riding pants that were tight along her muscular thighs and a deep blue tunic with a V-neck. You know where they can live? I asked after a moment.
Well, we'll have to do a little work first,
the bear demi-human admitted.
But I'm sure the sheep would be willing to help.
Okay, I'll take your word for it, I agreed. Aliona, Laika, and I will fly to Veda first, while the rest of you work with Rebecca to get this place livable.
What if you need help in Veta?
Naomi asked in a worried tone.
Our sexy badass dragon can handle anything,
Trina pointed out.
Yeah, don't worry,
Marina soothed the lizard mage.
Besides, we may need your magical skills here,
Polina added.
Oh, magic would help a lot,
Rebecca added with a grin.
I'm sure you've noticed this is the only building Cairo bothered to keep in good repair.
We noticed. So it's settled then. We'll go speak with the Lord over in Veda first, and as long as everything goes well, we'll move on to Imunving.
Sounds good, Nike agreed.
So we finished up our last bites of breakfast and pushed away from the table. Then we filed outside, where a few dozen of the sheep mingled in the square.
Good morning, Lord Evan,
a few of them called out to me. I waved and turned back to Aliona and Laika. Let's get a little farther out before I shift. I don't want to freak them out.
Of course,
Laika chuckled. We started down the steps when Yura tugged on Aliona's sleeve, and her teary eyes were filled with worry.
Oh, sweet Yura,
Aliona sighed and grabbed the girl's hands.
We'll return soon. For now, can you stay with my family? They'll take good care of you.
We'll keep you safe, Yura,
Ravi vowed with a gentle smile.
You can stay with us.
Yura's eyes darted back and forth between Aliona and Ravi before she let out a sigh and took Ravi's hand.
Good girl,
the princess said in a motherly voice.
I'll be back before you know it.
Yura nodded and curled her head against the phoenix's shoulder. I continued down the steps with Laika and Aliona right behind me. The sheep cleared a path, and I made sure we were far enough away from everyone before I took my dragon form. My arms and legs grew and stretched as my scales rippled down my skin, and my nails turned into talons. My wings and spikes popped out of my back next, and I watched the ground move further and further away as I grew taller. The bighorns gasped and pointed, so I gave them a wink as Aliona and Laika climbed up onto my back. Then the women gripped the spikes along my spine and waved as I kicked off and took flight. I could hardly wait to take to the sky, and the cool ocean wind felt amazing on my face. So I closed my eyes as I drifted over the last part of the city and zoomed west toward Veda.
You know where you're going?
Laika yelled over the wind blowing by us.
This way!
I called back with a laugh. I flapped my wings and beelined for Veda. As much as I love to fly, we had a lot to do today, and I wanted to free everyone that I could as soon as possible. It seemed like only a few minutes had passed when I noticed another set of gates ahead. The city was tucked away in a narrower section of the peninsula with water on two sides, but from up here, it looked like a typical city. I could see people moving around, and there was a large wooden building in the middle that I suspected was the Lord's Palace. I slowed to hover above the city in case anyone tried to attack, but no arrows flew up at us, and I didn't see the gleam of swords in the sun. Then I floated down to land in the grassy area in front of the palace, but as my shadow began to grow on the ground below me, I could hear screams of panic and cries for help. I landed on the grass and looked around, and bear, sheep, and moose demi-humans scattered in every direction to get away from me. Several of each race wore pieces of armor as though they were guards, but they held their hands up in surrender.
Take what you want,
one of the guards cried out.
We won't fight you.
Fight me? I raised an eyebrow. I'm not here to fight.
Oh, gods, he came to kill us,
another guard moaned and covered his face.
We're doomed.
What? I was bewildered. No, I just...
Take our gold,
the first guard begged.
We have plenty.
Well, I do like gold, I chuckled, and Aliona nudged me in the back before she slid to the ground with Laika right behind her.
We aren't here to hurt you,
the princess called out with her hands raised.
Please, just listen.
We'll do whatever you say,
a moose demi-human sobbed.
Just let us live.
I'd never seen his kind before, but the large rounded antlers gave it away. He also had an unusually round nose, and I shook my head to focus on calming them down.
You're all going to be fine,
Aliona assured the moose. No one is here to take your gold or your lives, I grumbled, and then shifted into my human form, which was met with gasps and screams. See? I'm just a dude now. Well, I'm still a dragon, but I can look like a regular dude.
We need to speak with the Lord of Veda.
The princess cut off my struggling ramblings.
Where might I find him?
Here, a man's low voice answered from the palace doors. A feline demi-human walked out into the sunshine, and I had to blink a few times to take in what I was seeing. The man had long gray hair that draped down to his waist, and a gray beard that looked like it was divided down the middle. His furry gray ears poked out of his head and stood tall, while his intense green eyes stared at us. He wore a long multicolored robe, and his clawed toes dug into the dirt as he walked over to us.
You are the Lord of Veda?
Lyca asked as she furrowed her brow in confusion.
I suppose I'm kind of like the Lord, but titles aren't really my concern, he breathed, and I was reminded of the guys I'd seen smoke pot back in high school. I just make sure things work here, man, he breathed, and I was reminded of the guys I'd seen smoke pot back in high school. I make sure things work here, man.
Your manners need some work, I growled. These are ladies, and you will address them as such.
Sorry, man, the cat breathed. I don't talk to many people.
So if you're not the Lord of Veda, who is? I ignored his apology.
I'm like, the lieutenant, I think, he drawled. My name is Kendi, but the Lord of the Peninsula is Cairo. Surely you met him on your way here. You can't get to Veda without going through Atheson.
They flew, sir, one of the guards pointed out.
Oh, right, Kendi nodded. Well, welcome to Veda. Sorry, I didn't catch a name.
Lord Evan of Hatra, I replied, and stuck out my hand.
Don't take this wrong, Lord Evan, the demi-human started and then stopped as he gathered his thoughts. Full disclosure, if I shake your hand, I'll know everything about you.
How's that? I frowned.
It's this, magical ability I have, Kendi replied with a shrug. I can tell everywhere that person or object has been when I touch it.
Neat trick,
Lyca scoffed.
Yeah, for sure, Kendi agreed, and I was certain he missed her sarcasm. We're much more relaxed here.
By relaxed, you mean not holding slaves hostage? I asked bluntly.
Oh, definitely not doing that, the demi-human said with a shake of his head. I stay out of the politics as much as possible.
Well, makes sense to me, I shrugged. So why aren't you the Lord? You live in the castle.
Well, I just did what Cairo said. Make sure people work for what they get, and you don't ever promise the people anything.
So you do what he says, except for half-slaves?
Aliona wondered.
Yeah, I don't really like the idea of owning others, Kendi frowned. Is that why you're here?
Part of it, yes. The rest will be determined later.
So if you don't have slaves, your city is in great shape, I advised him. In Atheson, suddenly bells started tolling around us in a frenzy.
Yeah, that's not good, Kendi announced in a strangely calm tone. We need to get inside before the raid.
Wait, why? I asked. What raid? What's wrong?
The only thing I worry about here, the demi-human sighed. Cairo's men...
Then the sound of dozens of boots stomping across the dirt echoed around us.